All right, brethren. John chapter 19. John 19. In verse 28, we read, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Consider this word, "after this." There is a lot in that word, "after this." Around noontime, our Lord looked down from the cross and he commanded John to take care of his mother. And from that hour, at that time, John took her to his house. And then darkness came upon the earth for 3 hours. Scripture said from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Our substitute suffered in that darkness in total silence. And we can't even imagine the soul agony he was bearing patiently. The Father had forsook him. We learn from the Psalms that having been made sin for us, he owned our sins as his own. Well, I read that to you there in Psalm 69, and it seems from most of the Psalms that he had a full sense of guilt and divine wrath upon his conscience as he hung there. He said there in Psalm 69:1, "I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." And then about the ninth hour, he cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Look over at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. He cried this, knowing why, but one reason was for our benefit, to teach us why he was forsaken. And he says there in Psalm 22:3, "This is why he was forsaken, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Verse 6, he said, "But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." He said in verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." Never underestimate what God's able to do to an infant in his mother's womb. Nothing's impossible with God. But then in verse 14, he said, "I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd." Dried up like a potsherd. "My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Back in John 19, verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." He knew all things were accomplished. He knew that he had made an end of the transgression for his people. He had made an end of all the sins of his people. He had made his people righteousness in him. God is just. He knew this. They had all died in this suffering, this forsaking that he endured. And he's the justifier, the Lord Jesus, knowing it was accomplished. And he said, "I thirst." Verse 29, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth." That's an example of us and our sinfulness right there. Just meanness. Just meanness is all it was. But he said, I thirst that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he fulfilled all the law and the prophets. But we can't imagine how he must have thirsted. How he must have thirsted. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaw. He said there in Psalm 22, he said, thou hast brought me into the dust of death. That's what it was, the dust of death. Verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. He finished the work the Father gave him. One of these days, we see a little bit of it now, but one of these days, we're going to see that the glory of God, God's holy character, God's purpose toward his people, God's purpose in all this earth before then and since then, we're going to see the whole glory of God and know it fully that it's in them three words, it is finished. It is finished. The salvation of his people is in those three words, it is finished. No man took his life. He bowed his head. That was voluntarily in victory. He bowed it. It wasn't a defeated thing there. He just bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. No man took his life. He gave it up. Now, Isaiah was used to tell us the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Everything he bore there, right there, is our peace. Christ is our peace because that's how he accomplished peace between his people and God. With his stripes, we are healed. That means what it means. We're healed. We're healed. He was forsaken of God so that we'll never be forsaken of God. And he said, I thirst. I thirst. And we'll never be brought to thirst in the way he thirsted. He will quench the thirst of all his people because he said, I thirst. He would do that for his people. That's my message. I thirst. Now, when I hear our substitute say, I thirst, I think about, as it concerns us, I think about his word on the mount. Our Lord said in Matthew 5:6, blessed, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All spiritual blessings are contained in that word, righteousness. We're thirsting for all spiritual blessings. And our Lord gives us all spiritual blessings. And ultimately, it is him we're thirsting for, the Lord, our righteousness. We're hungering and thirsting after him. And he says we shall be filled. What's he going to fill you with? Him. Him. Now, we're not thirsty by nature. Not for spiritual things. We're thirsty for the world. We're thirsty for our sin. We're thirsty for the lust of our flesh and what this world has to offer and our ambitions and covetous, 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 covetous. We come into this world seeking, thirsting for polluted waters. Nobody has to teach us to do this. We just have this in our nature. It's what our nature is. We thirst for corrupted, polluted, defiled water. That's what we're thirsty for. The Lord said in Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. One, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And two, they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They left me and they're trying to hew them out their own cistern and fill it with their own water and quench their own thirst by the things they do. The natural man will hear the gospel preached again, and he'll say, oh, not this again. Sick of hearing this, you know, like they did in the wilderness. We're tired of this light bread. Give us the garlics and leeks of Egypt. Give us the water of Egypt. Tell us something about our cistern. Tell us something about how we can fill it with our own water. The Lord Jesus is going to make his children cry, I thirst. He going to make us say, I thirst. You know, I was studying this and I kept getting thirsty, like physically thirsty. When you hear somebody talking about thirst and water, don't it make you thirsty? Well, the Lord is going to make us thirsty. He's going to make us thirsty. He's going to do it by making us see him suffering in our room instead on that cross, bearing all the forsaking, the hell that we deserve, dried up and thirsting himself to give us a thirst to be found in him only. That's how he's going to make his child thirsty. The gospel is a well of life. The gospel of Christ, not just any gospel, the gospel of Christ is a well of life. It's water. It's water for thirsty souls. Because Christ Jesus, the righteous man, he's the righteous God-man. He's the preacher. He's the one who comes, and when he makes his child thirsty, it's because he preaches the word to our heart. Now listen to what the scripture says, and think of the righteous man when you hear this. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. When Christ is a preacher, preaching to your heart, that's so. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. He is wisdom. And he is deep water for us and a flowing brook for us. But it's going to take the Spirit of God to make us hear the gospel, make us see our fallen Adam, make us see that our sin nature is nothing but sin, make us see all our works are sinful, the best and the worst together. If God were to judge us according to our works, he would judge the good and the evil, and they would all come short of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything would come short of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to dry up our man-made wells. He's going to empty our cup that we filled. He's going to totally shatter our already broken cistern and drain it of all its water. He's going to make us parched, and he's going to make our way dry so that we might become thirsty. This is what God has to do for us spiritually. Now, God's hand's not going to be as heavy on us as it was on our Lord Jesus, because it was heavy on our Lord Jesus. But when he puts his hand upon you, that's how he's going to make us dry. That's how he makes us dry. Let me give this to you from Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 4. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. This is what the Lord's going to do. He puts his hand upon us in the beginning, and he dries up all our moisture and makes us dry. And he does this. He keeps doing this for us. It's grace to us. Never his hand as heavy as what he put it on our Lord on that cross. But he does put his hand heavy upon us and dry us up. Just dry us up to bring us to him, to confess all our sin to him, our transgressions to him, our sins to him. I pray Christ be the one speaking tonight. Look back there at John 4. If he's the one speaking to us tonight, he'll do what he did for this woman. He came there to that woman and he made her know everything she had ever done was sin. That's the point of that. He made her know everything she had ever done was sin. She said she was amazed. He knows everything I've ever done. And our Lord makes us know everything we've ever done, he knows it, and it's all sin outside of him. every bit of it. But he said to her in verse 10, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. We asked him to give living water. We have to be brought dried up, so we ask him for the living water. He said in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Is anybody here thirsty? Anybody here thirsty? Christ made you see you're just a dry well in yourself. He made you thirsty for him. Are you thirsting for true water, for living water, for Christ our righteousness? He makes his children thirsty. Now here's the second thing. Our Lord Jesus quenches our thirst. He quenches our thirst, not with gall and vinegar like they gave to him. He's not going to keep giving you gall and keep giving you vinegar. He has an end in view when he makes you thirsty. It's to quench your thirst with him. To quench your thirst with him. That's the very reason he suffered in place of his people. He suffered under God's fierce wrath to bring his children to him and quench our thirst by his righteousness and his holiness and his wisdom. That's what he sent his son to do, that he might give us water, life, righteousness, and quench our thirst. He is the smitten rock. They said there in Exodus 17:6, God told Moses representing the law, thou shalt smite the rock. The law has smitten Christ and given him everything you deserved. All you sin today, he was bearing that over 2,000 years ago on the cross, not to mention yesterday and tomorrow. The law smote him, and he said, there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. It wasn't just to create a moral people. Moral people are a dead body just covered over in white linen. It was to create a new people. It was to give you the living water. The living water. The rock was smitten for Israel, for a particular people, and Christ was smitten for his elect, for a particular people. Some of you sitting right here, Christ justified his people so that this water of life is given to his people freely. We have to be made to see this and keep being made to see this, that this is free. That this is free. We don't realize all the ways we bring ourselves back under bondage. And he has to keep showing us this is free. Psalm 105:41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out. He doesn't just give you a little life. He gives you abundance. The waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Can you just picture that? That really happened. And it really happens with Christ. The waters gush out. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And God remembers his covenant promise from everlasting. And he remembers Abraham his servant. And he remembers every true child of Abraham. And he's going to give us this water. He smote Christ for that purpose. And he's going to keep giving you this water. And he's not going to let you go without this water. He's going to keep doing it. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's why we come here to worship, is to partake of Christ the water. That's why. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Christ is the whole purpose, to bring us to Christ. If you were in that desert and you were dying of thirst and you saw that rock and you saw the water coming out of that rock, you know where you'd have went? Straight to that rock. And if we're thirsty, made thirsty by God, So we see there is nothing, there's no life in us. There's no life in us, not naturally in our nature and none in our hands. There's no life in us. And when he makes you see that, that's when you're thirsty and that's when you go to Christ. This is not just a one-time, first-time, and it's done deal. It keeps being done for us over and over and over and over until the end. A well gets its water from a hidden fountain within or from the rain above. And that's where we get the water. Spiritually, when we're made thirsty, and we're really made thirsty, whether it's the first hour or any point in this desert journey we're going through, when we're made thirsty, it's because God's already done a work within and created a hidden fountain within by the Spirit of God, and he's already rained down showers of blessing upon us, and we don't even know it yet. We just see our need and know our thirst and know, I have to have Christ. But he's already started blessing you. And we get so thirsty. That's when the gospel is good news to us. Proverbs 25:25 said, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. You know what a thirsty soul is? He is a sinner. He is a sinner. He drinks iniquity like water. I wish we knew how much we sin. How much we sin. Not saying sin, saying avoid sin, saying with John, beloved, don't sin. But we drink iniquity like water, without even thinking about it. That's when, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And he sends this good news, and it is his cold water. Cold water. A thirsty sinner is going to find himself believing on Christ, and we find ourselves crying out to him from the depths of our heart. From the depths of our heart. Dry doctrine won't help. Dry doctrine won't help. Precepts and commandments won't help. You clean up the outside, that ain't going to help. What it takes is when you get to the point where you're so thirsty, won't nothing do but the presence and spirit of the Lord Jesus himself in your heart. That's what we're talking about. Thirsty. We're talking about thirsty. The psalmist said in Psalm 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know why you come here? He was wanting to go to the house of the Lord and hear the gospel and have God speak in his heart. You know why you come here? If you come here from a right motive by the Spirit, it's because we're thirsty. We're thirsty. He said in Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. For God himself. He's the water. He's life. He's righteousness. It's God himself. My soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You can look everywhere in this land for something to quench this thirst. It nothing will. When it's of God, nothing else will. We're in a dry and thirsty land. Everything that seems like it's going to quench your thirst is just an oasis. A mirage. We begin to hear Christ say in our heart, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. You know, he's given us his commentary on his word from Isaiah 55:1. He said, come without money and without price. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know how he put that in John? He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said. That's, you can search everywhere. That's the only place you'll find this passage. But over there he said, let your soul delight itself in fatness. And John, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Christ is the fountain of living waters. He is the water. He's life. He's righteousness. He's our need all the time. All the time. For those that believe him. And thirdly, the Spirit makes us hear Christ declare this to us. He makes us, He makes us thirsty. He makes us behold him. He makes us start longing for him. And he starts declaring to us the good news, what he is to us. That's how he quenches our thirst. He did this work within us. He sanctified us to himself. He lets you know that. And he shows you, I am your righteousness. You thought you was a goner. You thought this is the end of me. That's what the devil told me. That's what men told me. But he comes and tells you, no, it's not. I redeemed you. You're mine. You're mine. He gives you this word. You know, we talk about the gift of faith. It is really this. Everything is this. It's Christ coming and speaking to the heart. That's it. You'll believe. When he speaks, the doubt's gone, the fear's gone, the unbelief's gone. Because he speaks and says, I am your righteousness. Come with me. Follow me. He said that. He said in Revelation 22:1, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, shall proceed out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. He said through Isaiah, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. We're the dragon. We're the dragon. He comes, and our old man, he comes, and he makes a pool of water, and the thirsty land springs of water by creating us anew. And for the first time, when our Lord does this, when he does it at first, that's the first time we stop boasting. We stop boasting. Our neck was doing this right here, you know. Well, I think so. We stop it. Stop. We don't stop it for good, unfortunately. But we do stop it. Because we see now we don't have anything to boast in. We began to honor God in the obedience of faith. You know what that is? It's casting everything into Christ's hand. It's just what it sounds like, the obedience of faith. Believing his obedience has made me righteous, because that's what he told me. We start praising and glorifying God for his free, unmerited grace, for grace we wasn't even seeking from him. He said that would be the effect, that he would work. The beast of the field shall honor me. That's what he said. The dragons and the owls. We're these wilderness creatures by nature. They're going to honor me because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Our Lord promised we'll never go thirsty again. He said in John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He'll never thirst. The water that I'll give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, that's it then. We don't ever have to drink again. We don't ever get thirsty again. We don't ever see Christ ever again because we don't thirst anymore. I know that I have water in my fridge, and I know they got water at the grocery store. At least for now they do. I drank the water yesterday. I got thirsty for water today, but I knew it was there, and I went and drank it. I'll get thirsty tomorrow. I'll go there and get it. When it runs out, I'll go to the store and get some more. Why? Because I know it's there, but I'm thirsty all along. But I'll never thirst as long as there's water. And that's what our Lord means. When he gives you life and he gives you faith in Christ, he quenches your thirst. You know now I have righteousness in him. I have acceptance with God in him. I'm justified by him. He has sanctified me by doing this work in my heart and separated me unto him and given me this longing to be conformed more to his image and to seek him. But I still get thirsty. I start seeing the dryness of myself, and I start seeing my sin, and I start thirsting and thirsting and thirsting. When we read Psalm 22 and we read these other psalms, and we hear our Lord speaking, saying, I thirst, I'm dried up, I'm in the dust of death. We do hear our Lord Jesus saying that, but don't forget, we also hear a believer. We hear David as a believer saying these things. Believer, do you thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ? You thirst for his gospel? We don't always thirst for his gospel. Just be honest, we don't. When he makes you thirsty for it, oh, you have to have the gospel. He makes you thirst to get into his word. We don't always thirst for that, do we? He keeps giving you a thirst. He keeps making you see how dry you are and thirsting for his word. You thirst to go to his throne of grace. When he does that and makes you thirsty, it is a delight to be able to get out of the hustle and bustle of everything and to get in a quiet place and pour your heart out to God. Don't you long? He makes you thirst more for that as you go. We thirst to be conformed to him. He makes you thirst to be saved from our sin nature. Sadly, we still delight in our sin nature. That old man is enmity and loves sin and only always will. But he keeps you thirsting to be freed from him. Thirsting for Christ to subdue him. Thirsting to be more conformed to Christ, to walk in holiness and honor him. And he makes you so thirsty when you see yesterday's failures. And he makes you beg, Lord, don't let me fail tomorrow. Don't let me fail tomorrow. I'll bear the reproach, Lord. I sinned against you. Will you defend me? Will you protect me and keep me? You've done your work, Lord. You made me thirsty. I'm drinking. Lord, save me. Save me. Every believer is thirsty in our soul for Christ, because Christ keeps making us thirsty. In one of the Psalms, he said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. You ever done that? Have you ever just stretched your hands out, just beg God, please, Lord, make yourself known in my heart. David experienced that over and over and over. God's people do too. Every one of them do. Not a one of them don't. Christ promised, though, we'll be filled. Listen to this, Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy, that's when we're thirsty right there. When we see in myself, I'm poor. What does that mean? Poor. We don't just mean lower class. The poor class. That's not. Poor means I don't have 2 red cents to rub together. I don't have anything to bring to God. I'm poor and I'm needy. And when the poor and needy seek water and there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Who says that? The very Lord who hung on that cross and said, I'm in the dust of death. And when he knew it was accomplished and knew it was finished and he cried, it's finished. He said, I thirst. And because he knows what that is, better than you and me know what it is. He knows what it is in perfection to thirst for God. And he said, I'm going to open up rivers in high places for you. I'm going to give you water. He's coming, and he'll make you know his presence. God promised that he would set up one shepherd over the church, and that shepherd is Christ Jesus. He's our shepherd. He promised he would do that. Remember what the psalmist wrote? He said, he leads me beside still waters. He's going to lead you to the water, deep water, where you can drink, where it's not rushing like a rapid and scaring you, where you can lay down and drink. And this is what else he said. When I set up David, my shepherd, he said in Ezekiel 34:26, I'll make them and the places round about my hill, that's his church, I'll make it a blessing. I'll make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. He said in Revelation 7:16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. You see there, it doesn't mean you're not going to be thirsty, or he wouldn't be leading you to the fountain of living waters. But when he says they won't thirst anymore, it means he's going to lead you to the fountain of waters. He's going to keep you drinking, quenching your thirst. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. You ever get in a drought? He'll satisfy thy soul in drought. He'll make fat thy bones, and you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And you know what he said? Through Isaiah, he said, therefore with joy, Christ said, my joy I give unto you, and no man's going to take it from you. This is that water we're talking about, his joy. Knowing I'm in his hand. I'm being provided for by him. I have been, I am being, I shall be. He said, and with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy. You know, we become thirsty. I do. I know you do. We become thirsty wondering if the Lord's going to call out any more of his sheep. Thirsting to see him call more out. I thirst to see him call the last one. Wouldn't it be something if right here, right now, tonight, he called the last of his sheep? Wouldn't that be something? If you walked out of here and looked up tonight and you saw him coming, would you delight? Would you rejoice? He said in Isaiah 44:2, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I've chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass as well as by the watercourses. See, right now we got some seed, we got some offspring that we don't even know who they are. The mother's got some seed, some children that are going to be born, we don't even know who they are. But the Lord said, don't you worry. I'm going to pour the water upon them. They're going to spring up just like a plant springing up out of the ground. A well, when it's filled with water, it tries to provide water, or it does provide water to others. And when God's filled us with Christ, and he truly is our life and our righteousness, that's what we're trying to do, is give others the water. Give others the water. The only one who's going to be able to teach and give this water to others and say without any doubt whatsoever that there is no water in us. There is no water in us. Nothing of us. Before or after conversion, nothing of us. The only one that's going to be able to do that is somebody who knows that your sinful nature is a dry well. This body of death's a dry well. It won't do anything but create mirages for you that will not be oasis. And the only one that can speak that from experience is somebody who's been made to know who they are. And the only way you know who you are is when Christ made you a well of living water and filled you with him and made you know he's your salvation. He's your salvation. That's when love starts covering a multitude of sin. When he quenches your weary soul, when you don't deserve it to be quenched, You don't deserve one thing from him, and he keeps doing it. And he makes you know that. And you're so thankful. You're so thankful. This is why our Lord said, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. I pray tonight that he's filled you some tonight. And I pray that he'll keep doing it. And you know what? You keep going to the fountain of living waters. And I know this, he'll keep drawing you to him. And he will keep filling you. And you know why I can say that? I believe him. And he promised it. He promised it. He will. Help. When you're on your way to the well and you see one of your brothers falling, maybe you see him over there digging in sand, trying to get water out of sand. And I'm saying, sin, when you see him sin, pick him up, lift him up, say, come on, brother, let's go to the well together and help him get to the well. Don't put your foot on him and stomp on him. Pick him up and say, come on, let me help you to the fountain. Let me help you to the well. All right, brethren.